Who has seen the original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Yeah? You know the stop-motion picture with the super creepy abominable snow monster and the dentist, the elf that wants to be a dentist. In their adventures, they come across the island of misfit toys. These are the toys that are flawed and they're thrown away. And growing up, I had times when I felt I could relate to these toys, feeling like an outcast, like it didn't belong. I would dare say that all of us, at one point, have felt like a misfit. Who in ancient Israel would have been considered a misfit? Who didn't belong? Most certainly, Rahab would have been one of those misfits. You can find the story of Rahab in Joshua chapter 2 to chapter 6. Two spies have been sent to Jericho, and they're scouting out because they're about to take over Jericho. They find themselves in the house of Rahab the prostitute. Whether they thought it would be inconspicuous there, maybe they felt they would get a lot of information in a house like that, they failed their mission because Jericho king found out they were there. He sent his guards to Rahab's house. When the guards come, they say, "Bring out those men, they're spies." Rahab says, "Oh, those men were spies? I had no idea. They left right before the gate closed. If you go now, I bet you'll catch them." So the guards leave, but Rahab had actually been hiding them on her roof. And when she talked to the spies, she basically says, "I know God has given you this land. Will you please spare me and my family?" And they agree. They say, "Our lives for your lives." Now, if you fast forward to Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, the Israelites have done their last lap on the last day. And Joshua says, "The land is yours, but spare Rahab and her family." There are three aspects I would like to highlight that make Rahab an unlikely hero. The first one is that she was a Canaanite. She was a citizen in the very city the Israelites were about to take. And Israel was God's chosen nation. He said to Abraham in Genesis 12, 2 and 3, "And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This disqualified Rahab. She was born into the wrong family, the wrong nation. She would have grown up worshiping idols. For all intents and purposes, the Israelites would have said she was disqualified from knowing God and from participating in his blessings. However, God had a plan for Rahab, just as he does for us. There are many things in our lives that make us feel disqualified from knowing God. Mental health, physical limitations, single parent, divorced, our family history. Yet our ability to be used by God is not based on our qualifications. You may have heard the quote that God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And Ephesians 2, 8-10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I personally went through an extremely difficult time in my life where I felt disqualified from God. Started at the age of 13, and it wasn't until I was 17 I was finally diagnosed with clinical depression. And these were the grossest years of my life. I had these negative thoughts that made me feel disqualified from God's forgiveness. There was a spiritual element that was amplified from my chemical imbalance. But as I received help from medicine, supported my family and my friends, I clung to these verses, and Jordan already said one, Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Psalm 62:1-2. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. You may find yourself in a situation right now where you say, life isn't fair. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for the family that raised me. I didn't ask for my mental state. I didn't ask for this disease that stricken me day in and day out. I didn't ask for this pain that consumes my body. And because of these things that are in our lives, we think we are disqualified from participating in God's plan, in His blessings. Just like Rahab. But remember that it is God who qualifies us. Just like He qualified Rahab. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The next aspect I would like to look at that made Rahab an unlikely hero is that she was inferior. Rahab was a woman. Whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not, Rahab was in a time and culture where she was seen and treated as inferior to men. War was prevalent, and strength was important to survival. So women relied on men. They weren't raising Wonder Woman warriors. Their security and finances were in the men of their household, their fathers, their husbands, and in the case of slaves, their masters. Rahab was unique because she possibly actually had independence because of her business in prostitution. Now, there are two aspects to inferiority. The first one is that in our lives, there are things that do make us inferior to others. One night, Jordan and I are coming back from a date, and I'm feeling all flirtatious. I'm going to put him in a snowbank. So I run at him as fast as I can. And I'm the one who's all snowy. I am inferior to Jordan when it comes to wrestling tactics. I should know better. Jordan will tell you that he is an inferior hockey player compared to Wayne Gretzky. This is a part of life, but it becomes problematic when we believe that God cannot use us because we deem ourselves inferior. When Jesus called his disciples, he did not call them because they were the most educated, had the most religious knowledge. Some of them didn't even have that great of character. But he chose them because it was his will. Mark 3:13-14. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. In the Greek word, when it says for those whom he desired, those he wanted, the Greek stresses the sovereign choice of Christ over human logic. This is backed by 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. The second part of inferiority is that we tend to feel it. It might be because of our circumstances. Maybe it's because people have told us we are. But a lot of times we feel that we are inferior. I personally struggled with feeling inferior to other women when I was told I could not conceive without medical intervention. And there are things in your lives that might make you feel inferior. Maybe it is because you're a woman or you're young. English is your second language. You have a mundane job, or maybe you're unemployed. Maybe you feel you don't fit society's molds. Yet we need to look at what God has to say. 1 Samuel 16:7, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise you because of your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. In Colossians 2:8-10, see that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. The truth is, you may be inferior in skill set to your coworkers, or you might be inferior to the strength of an Olympic athlete. You might think that people or even God will not take you serious if you do not have that perfect Hollywood body with sun-kissed skin. Maybe it's because you're young and people are telling you you don't have enough life experience. It doesn't matter. God still wants to use us. God will provide all we need to accomplish his work. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The last aspect that I would like to look at about Rahab is one we can all relate to. And that is that Rahab was broken. Her line of work was not a respectable one. Whether she was once a prostitute in a temple, maybe her family pressured her into it. Maybe she even chose it to gain herself some independence. Her situation was less than ideal. And we all have been broken one way or another. Maybe it's the family environment we grew up in, our current circumstances, stresses of life. Maybe it's addiction, loss, infertility, health issues. But God can use us even when we are broken, and even better, he puts us back together. I have a friend who once shared her testimony at camp, and she has these vague memories of having a good relationship with her father. But then one night her parents had a fight and it spilled over into her room. And she's young, she has no idea what is happening, so she's hanging on to her mom. And her dad keeps saying, come to me. But she's, no, the louder it got, the more she clung to her mom. And from that day on, her dad did not treat her like his daughter. And she knew because she had other siblings. And this broke her. She went into drugs. She became homeless. And it wasn't until she found God and he removed her from this situation that he could mend her brokenness. If you were to meet her today, you would never be able to tell. She is this quirky, artistic, beautiful mom of five who is a pillar of strength for her family because of God. Jesus read from Isaiah 61. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed." Isaiah 40:11. "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." And Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." How are you broken? Do you feel you can't break your addiction? Maybe you have lost a loved one, a job, a friendship. Maybe you think that if God were to give you that one thing you want most, it will fix you. We are all broken, whether physically, emotionally, even morally. Where can God meet you today to mend your brokenness? Because he wants to. Psalm 147:3, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." I'd like to call the band up, please. In concluding and bringing this all together of why could God use Rahab, even though she was disqualified, even though she was inferior, even though she was broken, it's because Rahab had faith in God. Hebrews 11:31. "By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies." Back in Joshua chapter 2, she says to the spies, "For your Lord, your God, is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below." And the reason for her faith, she gave in the previous verse. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, who you devoted to destruction." When we think of a biblical definition of faith, we think of Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." Rahab lived this definition. God had dried up the Red Sea 40 years prior. She probably wasn't even born. Yet the Israelites who walked through the Red Sea perished in the wilderness because they failed to have faith God would give them Canaan. Rahab had faith in God. And God not only saved Rahab and her family from the destruction of Jericho, but she was brought into the household of Judah. And she was right in the genealogy of Christ. This is why God can use us, because of who he is. When I am feeling disqualified and inferior and broken, I remember who I serve. I serve the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Colossians 1:15-17. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I ask you again, where can God meet you? Are you thinking you have been disqualified from participating in his plan, in his blessings? Do you feel inferior? Are you saying, God can't use me because I am broken? I am broken morally. I am broken emotionally. I am broken physically. Do you think to yourself, I am a misfit. I don't belong anywhere. But right where you are, that is where God wants to meet you. God wants to qualify you, to say you are enough because of what he has done and because he loves you. To say, come to him so he can mend your brokenness. He did it for Rahab, and he wants and he desires to do it for you. Lord God, I just want to thank you that you are the one who qualifies us. You're the one who has made a way, especially when there has been no way, God. And I thank you that even in our inferiority, in our brokenness, Lord, that you are there and you are great. We honor and glorify you today. Amen.